good to see everyone this evening. From Psalm 92, the psalmist reminds us it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Last few months, at the last Sunday evening of the month, we take an opportunity to sing. It enables us to do exactly what the scriptures say. We're praising God. We also are reminding and building up each other in the thoughts that we've had in our lessons this month. And this month we've been talking about the beginning of our relationships, in the beginning of our relationships, God. And so tonight, it's good that we are all here. Good that you're here. If you're a guest with us, we thank you for being with us. Hopefully you got a white card at the time you came in the door. We'll ask you, if you will, go ahead and fill that out. Let us have an opportunity to thank you for being with us. And we pray this will be a time that we have to sing praise to God, to lift our prayers and petitions to Him, to be reminded of who He wants us to be and why we want to be that person in our relationships to Him and to one another. So let's enter into our worship and song tonight. Go to Him in prayer.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, Lord, so thankful for another day of life that you've blessed us with, so thankful that you've blessed us with another opportunity to be together. We just pray at this time, Lord, that you help quiet our minds to remove the distractions and cares of this world as we focus upon you and how magnificent you are. It's such a pleasure and honor, Lord, to come together and to focus on you and pleasing you and worshiping you as you would have us to do it. And we pray, Lord, that you be with our hearts and minds, that we might, again, put the things of this world out of them and focus on you and pleasing you to edify one another and take the focus off ourselves. It's just such a good time, Lord, such a wonderful time to be together and to put our hearts and minds on the things that they need to be on. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us through this worship time, that we might sing with understanding and with edification in our hearts, that we might think about the scriptures that we look at tonight and the concepts that we discuss, that we might apply them to our lives, that we might use them to be better servants of yours. We pray, Lord, that you be with those of our number who were unable to be here for whatever reason, that we might look out upon our number and to, again, take the focus off ourselves and look for others that we can encourage. We pray, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. It's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
How deep the Father's love.
The scripture reading tonight will be Romans 15, 1 through 7. Romans 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God.
Servant song.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was in the beginning of everything. Therefore, we are striving to put God in the beginning of everything we are and everything we do. And this month, that includes our relationships. In the beginning of our relationships, we want God. That's what we've talked about this month. We've talked about various aspects of that. We began, as we looked at the beginning, our relationship with God. And then we had a lesson on hospitality and about our one anotherness. And we talked about allies and accomplices. And this morning, Andrew led us in the study of communication, one of the keys of unity and togetherness and relationship, and how God needs to be at the beginning of our communication. And as Joe pointed out earlier, we've been taking this final assembly in each of our months to wrap up and summarize and to teach one another, not just the preacher up here telling you one more thing, but us talking to one another and encouraging one another in song. And that's what we want to do tonight. We're going to basically have three parts of our time together this evening. We want to talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with the lost. We do remember that in the beginning needs to be our relationship with God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 explains how much God wants to have a relationship with us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" The God of the universe wants a relationship with us. The God of the universe wants a relationship with you. And he wants that relationship so badly that he sacrificed his begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Word of God, the incarnate God, in order to pay the price, to get rid of our sins, so that we might be reconciled to him, that we might be in relationship with him. That is how much he loves us. And it is that love that produces a love in us. Because he first loved us, we love him. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, John reminds us, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." But then in verse 19, it reminds us, we love because he first loved us. We love because he loved us first. What we do is not about trying to get him to love us, but having recognized his love for us, we love in response. What an amazing God we serve. But we understand that this idea of relationship with God is not just about crossing the threshold. It's not just about getting baptized and, okay, now I've got a relationship with God. We understand that that loving relationship that we have with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is one that grows, one that changes us, one that we develop in. And so in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, when it speaks of disciples and it points out that a disciple will not be beyond his master, but when he is fully trained, it is enough for a disciple to be like his master. That this is a relationship of growth. This is an ever-deepening relationship, an ever-strengthening relationship. And so tonight, as we sing to one another, and I really do want us to remember, we are singing to one another this evening. I want us to think about this relationship. We're going to begin by talking about his love for us as we sing, "Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?" And then we're going to sing about the love that has prompted in us as we sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And then we're going to sing about that growing relationship that we have as we sing, "None of Self and All of Thee." Will you help me as we sing these lessons to one another?
Thank you.
toward thee.
Relationship with others, and here by others, I am specifically talking about the others who are in Christ's church, one another. Our relationship that we have, as we've talked about in several of our lessons throughout this month, we understand that because God has loved us, we love Him first. But there in 1 John chapter 4, we are told that that love extends beyond just our relationship with God, but into our relationship with others who are His children. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then down in verses 20 and 21, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." We remember in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and he turned to them and said, "I've left an example for you." He does not say to them, I left an example for you. If I washed your feet, you also ought to wash my feet. We'd understand that. God has loved us, we should love Him. But what Jesus points out is, if I washed your feet, John chapter 13, verse 13, you ought to wash one another's feet. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If Jesus has sacrificed Himself for us, we ought also to sacrifice ourselves for others, for one another. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we recognize that a disciple loves like God. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We understand as we consider these passages that there is something that ties us together. There's something that binds us together. It's not our past. It's not where we were born. It's not who our parents are. It's not where we went to school. It's not our gender. It's not our race. It's not our socioeconomic class. It's not our level of education. It's not even our politics. It's not our nationality. The thing that ties us together is our Savior. We have a Savior who has loved each and every one of us, whether male or female, whether black or white, whether Hispanic or Indian. We have a Savior who has loved us, whether rich or poor. We have a Savior who has loved us, whether educated or uneducated. We have a Savior who has died for us. And we see that in the apostles. When you think about the apostles and their difference, you had, on the one hand, a tax collector, probably quite educated, compared to the fisherman. And then on the other hand, we've got the tax collector, really a Roman sympathizer and compromiser in his politics. But on the other hand, we have the zealot, a separatist from the Romans. What was it that allowed these men to work together? It was not their politics, their education, their wealth, or lack thereof. It was their Savior. They had a common love. They understood that God had a common love for them, and they had a common love for their Savior. And because of that, they had a common love for one another. And the tie that bound them together was indeed blessed. But we understand when we consider this relationship that we have with one another, it's not merely coming to the same room a couple of times a week. It's not having our names on the roll of a congregation that says, yes, I too am a member of that group. We understand that the reason God has placed us in this relationship with one another is to challenge one another, to provoke one another, to stir up one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Hebrew writer encourages us, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's why God has placed us together. That's why He's given us this relationship, not just to say we're in relationship, but to be in relationship, and for this relationship to be to a means to an end. Let's face it. We all want to have self-control and we all want self-discipline, but there are just some days where the self-discipline engine isn't working. And what we need sometimes is other discipline. We need these relationships. We need the people who are going to come beside us and kick us in the pants. Spur us on, jab us in the flank and say, hey, it's time to get moving. We've sat idle long enough. It's time to keep moving down this journey. It's time to keep walking down this path. And so He's given us one another to encourage, to admonish, to teach, to instruct, to challenge, to provoke, to rebuke. But we have a relationship with one another, not to sit idly by, but to mutually push one another and challenge and encourage and admonish and to help one another in our relationship with God. Please help me teach these principles to one another. As we sing to one another, as we edify one another in song, we're going to talk about that common love. We're going to praise God for that and remind ourselves of that common love. And then we're going to bless the tie that binds. And then in that third song, I want us to remember the reason for our relationship, because we're going to sing Seek Ye First, which I understand does not sound like a relationship song. But what's our relationship about? It's about encouraging one another to seek first the kingdom of God. So especially in that song, I want us to remember we're singing to one another. When we say, seek ye first, we're not just singing to the rafters. We're singing to that person next to us. And when we hear, seek ye first, that person next to us is talking to us and reminding us that is what we're supposed to do. Let's sing these songs to God and to one another as we talk about our common love, our blessed tie, and the kingdom that we are going to encourage one another to seek first. perhaps one of the most shocking things about our relationships is that God has not asked us to step out of this world, but has left us in this world. In fact, in John chapter 17, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he says in verse 14, John 17, 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." We are in the world, and Jesus has not asked for us to be taken out of the world. In fact, the exact opposite of that. Not only has he not asked us to be taken out, but he has sent us in. He said he sent the disciples into the world. Why would he do such a thing? We recognize that there is a danger to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. As we read in last week's lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it tells us, "Be not deceived. Bad companions ruin good morals." We understand that there is a danger for us being in the world and for us being among the lost. And yet that is exactly where Jesus has sent us. Why? Why hasn't Jesus pulled us out and asked us to set up communes where we would be completely separate and distinct? Our own communities where we would run our own stores, where we'd run our own restaurants, where we'd run all of our own farms and businesses and just associate with one another. Why didn't he ask that of us? I'll tell you why. Because he wants everyone sanctified by truth. Those who are presently lost, who are in the world, God wants everyone to come to repentance. He is not willing for any to perish. And we are his instruments that he is sending out into the world to carry that message of the gospel, to share that with them. Certainly we understand the danger of drawing too close to the world. But we must recognize the opportunity that God has afforded by being in the world. We must understand the relationship that God wants us to have with the lost. Those who are around us. We need to develop a kind of sixth sense. We need to see those who are dead and dying. And we need to understand that we have a message of life for them. When we see them, we need not just to see the checkout clerk, the movie attendant, the bank teller. We need not just see the person who lives next door to us whose yard is always so much better than ours that embarrasses us, or whose yard is always so scraggly we wish they'd get it fixed up. We don't need to merely see the co-worker who bypassed us for a promotion. We don't merely need to see a student or a teacher, a boss or an employee. We need to develop that sixth sense. We need to see those who are dead and dying, and we need to be willing to find out, is that who we're looking at? And we need to remember that we have the message that will give them life. That's why Jesus has left us in the world. That is the relationship that he wants us to have with the lost who are around us. We understand what sin has done to us. We understand our need for a Savior. Let us look around and recognize that there are others who are living in those sinful lives that are looking for something to take the place of it. And God has left us here so that we can show them the light, that we can give to them the message of life. That's our relationship with the lost. Taking them the message that will find them. Taking the message that will save them. Taking the message that will give them life. That's why we're here. I want us to encourage one another in this message. We're going to remind ourselves of the amazing gospel as we sing, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." And if you look in the book, you'll notice that it's "Jesus saves!" exclamation point. Jesus saves! Exclamation point. Now, I want you to understand, there are a lot of people that misuse exclamation points, and they think that exclamation points are put there for emphasis. That's not the purpose of an exclamation point. Exclamation point is not put there so you say, "Hey, this sentence is really important." An exclamation point is put there because that means you're saying it really loud. Jesus saves. That's what we're singing when we get to that part. Remember that. Jesus saves. Sing it out. We're going to talk about the perishing as we sing to one another to encourage us to rescue the perishing. And then we're going to encourage one another as we sing, "Will You Not Tell It Today? Will You Help Me?" as we talk to one another about our relationship with the lost.
Tell it today. If the name of the Savior is precious to you,
thank you very much for helping me teach these lessons tonight as we've talked to one another about our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with the lost. And a special thanks to David for helping us out tonight. Brian Harbor was, he and I had worked on this throughout the week, and then Brian was unable to be here tonight, and David stepped in willingly, and we appreciate that. So thank you very much for that. Thank you as we have edified and encouraged one another. I want to go back to where we started tonight. With our relationship with God. I want us to think about the relationship that God has offered us. In just a moment, we're going to be singing what we call an invitation song. It's going to be the song, Let Him In. If you want to have your songbook ready, it's number 816. Otherwise, as with all the other songs, it's going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to talk about this relationship that He is offering us. It's amazing. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul writes this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." A relationship with the triumvirate God, Father, Son, and Spirit. A relationship in which the Holy Spirit is strengthening us in our inner being. A relationship in which Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. And a relationship whereby the Father fills us with all of His fullness. Now, what could you want more than that? What a relationship that He is offering to us. His presence with us. That we would be His temple as He dwells in us, sanctifying us. That we might be His holy vessels used for His good works here in this world. In fact, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter offered the very first invitation for this kind of relationship with God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you may remember that he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He is inviting to that relationship. That relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How do we enter that relationship? By turning away from our sins. By recognizing that our path leads to death. And that God's path leads to life. That when I am sitting on the throne of my heart, it ends in destruction and damnation. But when Father, Son, and Spirit sit on the throne of my heart, strengthening me in my inner being, dwelling there by faith, filling me with all of God's fullness, that's the gift of God. He's inviting you to that relationship. The question we're asking you now is, will you let Him in? He wants to be there. He wants to dwell on the throne of your heart. He wants to be in you and with you and around you and guarding you and walking beside you. Will you let Him in? We're going to sing that song. And that's the message of this song. And brothers and sisters, remember, we're singing this to one another. Do you need to let Him in? Have you pushed Him out? Do you need to let Him back? Can we help you with that? Have you ever let Him in? Have you surrendered, as Peter said, in repentance and in baptism? We want God to be in you and with you. If we can help you with that tonight, we're going to invite you, while we stand and sing, come down to the front and we'll help you.
There's a stranger at the door. Let